Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer. We've all survived the eclipse, and there's some really awesome pictures of it online. And I guess since it only happens once in 99 years, it's probably the only time any of us are going to get to see something like that. Anyway, let me say good morning to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Maria. Yeah. I watched the eclipse over television when it took place in Oregon. Then they broadcast again from Missouri. It was, of course, a great, totally predictable celestial phenomenon in accordance with the laws of physics and astronomy that the flat earthers could not possibly explain. It's bizarre that movement has taken such a grip. It appears to have been a psyop promoted by the CIA to play upon the weak-minded in the American public, of whom there turn out to be a vast number.
It's crazy. I can't even get over it. And some of the people that are posting for the Flat Earth Society or whatever the hell they call themselves were people I actually know and thought were fairly intelligent. And I'm like, how could they believe that? I mean, did they watch The Truman Show? Do you know what I mean? I think the insanity out there is at a level I've never seen in my entire life.
I agree. It's as though we've reached the apotheosis of mind control through television, fluoride, electronics. It even looks as though this 5G, which you think is beneficial because it's a higher speed internet, may have properties that are capable of affecting the thought and behavior of those to whom it's subjected. I have it now. I think I'm going to move to have it taken out. It looks too threatening to me at this point in time, Maria.
Well, you know, the little bit that I've been learning about it, backing into it, thanks to some of my listeners, it's certainly looks like it's the ultimate in the mind and physical manipulation. So, you know, listen, when they tell us something's good for us or it's for our convenience, that's when you have to really question things. But getting back go ahead.
Or when Lindsey Graham says, I'm very pleased with Trump's new Afghanistan plan.
Right.
You know that things are wrong, that the world's upside down, that something is not as it ought to be.
Exactly. Well, one more thing on the eclipse. I mean, it's all over the internet, so I'm sure you've seen it. What did you think about Donald Trump staring at the eclipse with no glasses on?
Well, what a blunder. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to say, but he's not very well educated or informed on a whole host of issues. This is one among many. He seems not to understand that Afghanistan has never been conquered throughout history. It couldn't be done by Alexander the Great. The Soviet Union was unable to do it. The United States most certainly will likewise. And the problem becomes why he's contradicting his campaign pledges to get us out of Afghanistan and these other wars in the Middle East that have caused trillions of dollars from the American treasury and the lives of many young American men and women. In fact, new studies, Maria, by Boston University and the University of Minnesota, show that Trump won because the counties that supported him had high casualties from these Middle East wars and voted for the candidate they believe was less likely to continue those wars. For that reason, I believe this latest effort on his part is going to have a very strong negative impact on his actual base, the real base of those of us who actually believed he was going to end these wars in the Middle East, not extend them.
Right. But, you know, we've been at war for most of this country's existence. I don't know how people could have fallen for that And the other thing is, when he started, listen, if it wasn't for you telling me, sending me that note where you were pretty furious after his speech, because I was on Chuck O'Chelly's show at the time. So I said, wow, if Jim's feeling like this, I better go YouTube this. And I have to tell you, it's got to be the worst speech I ever saw in my life. He didn't even make contact with his audience. He was just reading off teleprompters, looking left and right. Looked like he was stoned or sedated. And when he said that he studied Afghanistan, I mean, he's getting taken over the rails for that on social media today.
Well, it's embarrassing. The only interesting comment I heard was by Michael Beschloss, who was interviewed by Rachel Maddow after, and although I hold her in contempt, she is simply a feminist version of the CIA. MSNBC is, in my opinion, CNN light. But Michael Beschloss said that Trump was talking about Nixon and the mistake he made was a rapid withdrawal, suggesting in Beschloss' views he may be hitting at a gradual or slow withdrawal. That was the only heartening aspect of the entire event, which I otherwise regarded as a fiasco.
Right. Well, he's still sending another 4,000 troops there. And I wonder, you know, his son Eric is 33. He's young enough to enlist. Why doesn't he send his, you know, killing innocent animals on safari sons and put them in Afghanistan? You know, let's get Lindsey Graham's kids if he has any. You know, but it's never their kids that fight these wars. It's easy to do when it's somebody else's kids being used for cannon fodder.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, he's giving too much play to the generals who know how to win victories or think they do, but need strategic guidance. You know, it's a difference between strategy, what are the ultimate goals, and tactics, what are the means that are going to be employed to achieve those ultimate goals. The president has the obligation as the civilian head of our military to determine those strategic objectives. Trump, because of his lack of background in foreign policy and military affairs, has delegated way too much authority to the generals with whom he has surrounded himself, including, of course, now Kelly, who is his chief of staff, Mattis at Defense, and this guy McMaster as his national security advisor, where ironically, Maria, McMaster was a never-Trumper. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a globalist. And Roger Stone has exposed him as having daily conversation with George Soros, who is an enemy of the American people, if ever there was one.
Well, you know, I tried to tell people when he was lining his cabinet with these military people. I mean, I kept posting it. Does anybody see a problem with this? You know, putting military people in charge of civilian jobs. I mean, the military's trained for war. That's all they want to do. They want to play with their weapons. They want to go out on a killing. I mean, that's what they're there for. But everybody ignored it. Everybody thought it was great.
Something especially embarrassing about this speech was when he declared that Afghanistan was responsible for 9/11, which is complete poppycock. I don't mean just the bare bones lie where he said they refused to turn over Osama bin Laden. The Taliban were very professional about it. They said they would gladly turn him over if the United States could produce proof, evidence that he had been involved. We said we would, but of course we never did because Osama had nothing to do with 9/11. It was an arranged, orchestrated event brought to his compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. It was arranged in order to create a pretext for U.S. involvement in these wars in the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states and eventually Iran that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. That's what it's been all about from the beginning, Maria. Donald Trump himself knew better. He was interviewed on 9/11, and he said that something was wrong here,
right,
that he had the same builders who had put up the Twin Towers working for him now, that the planes and the fires could not possibly have brought those buildings down, that something else had to be involved, such as bombs. He was right then. He is wrong now. He knows better. I recently did a two-hour review of what we know about 9/11 on the Brian Ruhe, R-U-H-E show. Anyone can check it out, 9/11, who was responsible and why, Afghanistan had nothing to do with it. When Osama bin Laden was first...
I was shocked when he brought in Afghanistan in 9/11. I mean, I was truly shocked.
That's absolutely right. I mean, what about all this stuff about the 28 pages in Saudi Arabian funding? I mean, 15 of the 19 alleged terrorists were actually from Saudi Arabia. None were from Iraq. None was from Afghanistan. Intelligence agencies have agreed that there were only two agencies in the world that could have pulled this off. Those were the United States and Israel. And of course, in this instance, they were operating together to suggest that this poorest country in the world with no technical resources whatsoever could have brought this off is simply absurd.
Right, right. And they couldn't have done it, you know, without a total stand down of all our security. Let's not leave that out. But you know what? People wanted to believe, you know, because of Trump's initial video after 9/11 when he said it looked like a controlled demolition. People wanted to believe him when he said he was going to reopen and investigate 9/11. Now, you know, that would be a death blow for anybody, any president. It would be signing their own death certificate. Yet people believed every lie this guy said. And then when I saw him blaming it on Afghanistan... You know, one of the reasons, Jim, I'm sure you've seen, one of the reasons we don't want to leave Afghanistan now is because they found trillions of dollars worth of minerals and gems there. And you know we're not leaving without it.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Well, I think there's a difference between Trump as candidate and Trump as president. Trump as candidate was speaking his own mind. I believe he was speaking honestly, sincerely, with great candor. Now that he's in the Oval Office, he's subjected to massive pressures. They're isolating him from his strongest allies of the past. Michael Flynn, who was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency at the time ISIS was created, over his objection by John Brennan, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, who would subsequently fire him at the insistence of John Brennan because he opposed ISIS, was the first to go for no good reason whatsoever. He was indispensable to Trump because he would cut through all the phony intelligence bullshit and tell him what's really going on. Now they've taken out Steve Bannon, who was Trump's eyes and ears in the National Security Council. Bannon was the author, the originator of the America First movement. He was out to put the United States first and to take those trillions we were squandering on these wars in the Middle East that had no benefit for America and put it to work for the people of this nation, rebuilding our roads, our infrastructure, public education, and so forth. They have isolated Trump, and they're now micromanaging him and limiting the information he receives. I think the situation is absolutely appalling. It may keep him from assassination. It may save his life, but at the expense of the welfare of the country.
Well, let me ask you this. Didn't he seem like he was sedated or being controlled? It just reminded me of you go back in time, Jim, and you remember when George Bush was speaking and they had that box on the back of his suit and an earpiece when they were puppeting George Bush around. Last night, I mean, I looked at Trump and I was like, what kind of sedation is this guy on? I'm sure he's going to be entirely different when he's in Phoenix, which is already arranging protests against him and Pence. For whatever reason, Pence is coming here too, even though the mayor and the governor said, we don't want you here. Okay, we don't need any more trouble in this state. So I'm sure he's going to be off the cuff today, which will be a total opposite of what we saw last night. But I was stunned. I said, wow, even a third grader could read off the teleprompter better than that. There was no passion. There was nothing. It was like he was truly drugged and puppeted.
Well, it may have had aspects of that. Certainly he was attempting to be presidential. Is very conventional in the mode of delivery. Using the teleprompter, of course, has become a tradition among American politicians. He could very well have been given some very mild form of sedative, but the fact is he was performing in accordance with expectations that had been laid down by others who now appear to have him under their control.
Absolutely. And I mean, people have to realize that. And to me, it's like, well, obviously the military and Goldman Sachs is now our government. You know, this is the biggest Goldman Sachs in your face people I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not the only one that's noticing it. And, you know, everything he accused Hillary of, and let's face it, they're both two sides of the same coin, is what he's doing. You know, pay to play. You know, he's already broke the bank for the Secret Service for the whole year. I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah. That's right. Trump just is a very expensive guy to protect, and they have to give him a high level of protection because there's so many threats against his life. It's extraordinary. Yeah, all kinds of sources, including very prominent celebrities, Hollywood movie stars, and so forth, who are actually endorsing the idea of assassinating Trump. It's indispensable that he and his family be protected, and it's therefore an additional cost that the public must bear to maintain democracy and the integrity of our electoral system, such as it may be.
Right, but we're paying for his kids' vacations, we're paying for shopping trips for Steve Mnuchin's wife. I mean, this is ridiculous. And he's making a lot of money because every time he plays golf, it's costing us a fortune. It's $55 million so far to the taxpayers. And it goes to his golf club courses. He's making money on his presidency, which shouldn't be the case. And, you know, I've just read this morning that the Secret Service so far has paid $60,000 to rent golf carts from his golf courses to follow him around. Let alone that he overcharged them rent in Trump Towers, so they moved out. I mean, is he looking for a stand down? Is he asking to be killed? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, it's a really good question, what's going on here. Give me your thoughts, Maria. What is your take on this?
My take is that, I'll tell you the truth, I think they're already setting it up for a stand down. I mean, you know, everything that happens, I go back to JFK in my head. I think it's setting the line for a stand down. I think with all these military people in office, it could very easily turn into a military coup. I see the same obfuscation, so many different players against him, just like during the Kennedy assassination. Look how many years it took for people to figure that out. So if and when it happens, you won't know who did it because it could be, you know, any one of those players, but it'll still be the same people that brought us JFK and 9/11. That's my thought. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, the planning of these assassinations, the CIA was very deeply involved in Jack and Bobby. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Martin, it turns out, William Pepper has done brilliant research that reveals that he didn't die on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, but was transported to a hospital more distant than necessary, where a racist physician was prepared to finish the job. And had everyone taken out of the operating room when he smothered him to death with a pillow. It's absolutely stunning stuff. I've done an interview on The Real Deal with Ole Domegaard reporting about William Pepper's research with a lot of photographs and views of the actual scene and evidence. It's a profoundly disturbing story.
Right. Well, you know, now that they've released more papers on the Kennedy assassination, it surely looks more like the CIA knew about it, covered it up, now the CIA admitted they didn't do due diligence with the information given to them. So in other words, they basically backed up the official story and didn't do their job. And you got to wonder, well, why didn't they? Because I think that was the coup on our country, and we haven't had a real president since.
Yeah, well, that's basically correct. And one of the most interesting revelations to come out from these latest releases is that the mayor of Dallas, Earl Campbell, who was the brother of the Lieutenant General in the Air Force, Charles Campbell, who was one of the two deputies to CIA Director Alan Dulles at the time of the Bay of Pigs and was dismissed by JFK, was also in the CIA, which he joined in 1956. I spent 10 years pondering the connection between the CIA and Dulles, and in 1981, it came to me that it had to be the brothers. I went to the archives of the library for New College of the University of South Florida in Sarasota, where I was then teaching, and found who is who for 1995, and was just stunned to read how Charles Campbell was born in Dallas in 1903. His brother Earl was born near Dallas in 1906. Dealey Plaza, where there was their backyard, it was a perfect site for an ambush with multiple assassins in multiple locations, where I've been able to identify at least six, and only, I believe, yet a seventh. This was a total setup of the American government taking out the president of the United States, a total disgrace, and they're covering it up to this day.
Absolutely. Well, James Angleton had a big part in that, too. You know, so you look at, you know, and a lot of them, let's face it, a lot of them were Nazi sympathizers. That was when, you know, around about the time we already had Operation Paperclip, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, when you look at that, it's crazy because people still ask me, why do you keep talking about JFK? And I keep telling them the same answer. I said, if you don't understand that our country was stolen that day and we haven't had a real president since, and the same people that brought us that brought us every single thing that's happened after that, then you're missing the boat. It was funny because the other day, you know, I live in a very Republican town. And all the people at my gym are very white. They're all, some of them older. And they were all dyed-in-the-wool Republicans. They were all rah-rahing for Trump because they hated Hillary, and for good reason. But let me tell you, they're livid now. Every single one of them is livid. So I get into this conversation with a man I never talked to before at the gym this week. And he started out with all, you know, his disappointment in Trump. What the hell's going on? Charlottesville, we don't want to go back 100 years. The guy was going crazy, right? And then he asked me the question that I never expected, Jim. He said to me, who do you think killed JFK? Just out of the blue.
Really?
Jim, I went off like I had a ticket to ride. I mean, I was quoting everything. Everything from Dr. Mary's Monkey to every single book, to Judith Baker, to the duplicate Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, on and on and on and on. To LBJ. I mean, I said to myself, either this guy thinks I'm a total whack job or he's sorry he asked the question. But you know what? He listened to every single word I said and he was in agreement.
Of course, Lyndon was the key player.
Absolutely.
He forced himself on the ticket in Los Angeles in 1960. Jack and Bobby didn't even have him on their long list, much less their short. Jack had invited Stuart Symington to be his running mate. Gave him overnight to think about it. Bobby went by the Johnson suite, extended a pro forma offer he never imagined Lyndon would remotely consider because it would involve surrendering his position as the powerful majority leader of the Senate. He was stunned when LBJ jumped on it, threatened to reveal that Jack had had affairs with beautiful women, some of whom were his spies for East Germany, for example, that he suffered from Addison's disease, wasn't expected to live a long, healthy life, and also that if he were not on the ticket, then any legislative proposals coming down from the White House would be dead on arrival because in his position as majority leader, he'd bottle them up. Jack and Bobby couldn't figure a way to work around it and had to accept him on the ticket. When one of Johnson's rich supporters learned this, he was outraged that LBJ was going to help JFK become president, burst into the Johnson suite cursing and swearing. Bobby Baker took him into a bedroom and explained what they had in mind. He came out all smiles and said he thought that was an excellent plan. Bobby Baker would later state publicly that JFK would not live out his term and that he would die a violent death. And Lyndon, in fact, sent his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination.
Right. Well, you know, LBJ always wanted to be president. And there he was forced on the Kennedy brothers, who didn't like him, didn't want him there. And then, oops, how lucky for Johnson that Kennedy gets shot. And then you look at, you know, it kind of reminded me of George Bush Sr. I mean, he always wanted to be president. And let's face it, he was the president during most of Reagan's administration, kind of like Dick Cheney and Jr.
Absolutely right.
I mean, the problem today, as I see it, is if anything happens to Trump, we're stuck with Pence, who's worse. I mean, he's a religious zealot psychopath. So it's like, holy crap. You know, you just look at it. But listen, history seems to repeat itself because people don't want to learn. They don't want to know about JFK. How many young people do you talk to, Jim, that even ever heard the name JFK?
Well, everyone knows JFK because he's still adored around the world, but very few really have a firm grip on the situation. Most Americans at the time, of course, thought that Lyndon Johnson had been behind it. They were right. Mm-hmm. Widely broadcast on radio and television that day were two wounds the president had suffered, one a small puncture wound to the throat, which was obviously a wound of entry, another a shot that entered the right temple and blew out the back of his head, both of which had been fired from in front. If you look at NBC, for example, you'll see Jeff Huntley and others reporting what went down. As they're coming in with stories that the assassin was above and behind Frank McGee, who was nobody's fool, mm-hmm. reacts in disbelief. He says, this is incongruous. How can the man have been shot from in front, from behind?
Right.
But the evidence of those two shots, both of which had been fired from in front, was all over radio and television the day of the shooting.
Right. Well, I know you know that we lost Jim Mars last month. And it was interesting because the day he died, you know, it's interesting because YouTube and Hulu seem to be on the pulse of social media. And whatever's in the news is what they bring up on my screen as choices when I go to look at something that day. Okay. And it just happened that they had Jim's movie, Crossfire. They were playing that. The minute he died, they started playing that. And I have to tell you, Jim, I watched it and I actually saw things that you and I have never discussed. I said, how could it be that I'm learning something even more or different after covering this for how many years, how many decades? But he really, you know, one of the important things I think that everybody kind of missed was how quick they got rid of that car.
Oh, yeah. Lyndon had it sent back to Ford on Monday. It was stripped down to bare metal. They removed the windshield, which had a through and through bullet hole from the outside in, and destroyed a crime scene on wheels. I mean, they had it completely rebuilt. Lyndon never drove in it for all the right psychological reasons, of course. But it was, you know, unbelievable. It belonged in the Smithsonian as an historical artifact. It should have been subjected to thorough forensic inspection, but, you know, the FBI was being used to cover it up.
Right.
The Warren Commission was to whitewash. We even had a reinvestigation in 77-78, the House Select Committee reinvestigation of the death of JFK and Martin Luther King, another whitewash. They even redid the medical evidence to contract this massive blowout at the back of the head, which had actually been enlarged at Bethesda using a cranial saw by James Humes, who was in charge of the autopsy, to a very small entry wound at the crown of the head. It is shocking that you have these three totally different versions. Mm-hmm. Because I know Cyril Wecht, who was on the medical panel, I called him in disbelief and I said, Cyril, how did the HSCA medical panel move from the enormous missing back of the head described in the Bethesda autopsy report, the small entry wound at the top at mm-hmm. the crown? And he said to me after a pause, I'll have to check my notes.
Right. To check my notes. But I'll tell you this, anybody out there that hasn't seen Jim's movie Crossfire, it's free. I mean, just go look at it. It was amazing. And, you know, look, he's going to be missed. He was a great investigative reporter, too.
We did a tremendous amount of research together. We have an article entitled Framing the Patsy, the Case of Lee Harvey Oswald. And I have a recent review of JFK evidence, also at the Brian Ruhe Show, R-U-H-E, JFK, who was responsible and why. And I offer that as a tribute to his memory. He was a great man with broad interests. Go on to Amazon.com and look at Jim Maher's books and bios, and you'll see he has a, you know, he researched a dozen issues, alien agenda, the 9/11, the terror timeline. He was willing to go where most are unwilling to tread. He was fearless and very conscientious and very able.
Absolutely.
A bona fide investigative journalist in the best sense of the term.
Absolutely. I consider myself honored to have met and worked with him. Jim, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to just dip back into 9/11 for a minute. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
How does she do it? Reporting on worldwide news while retaining her sense of humor and passion for life? It's simple. Maria sees everything as part of our spiritual journey here and our unbreakable connection to all living things. From her book, Reinventing the Wheel, to her Reiki book and practice, and her excellent relationship-saving book, Relationships, Cutting to the Chase, one thing rings true, the philosophy of the medicine wheel. Why are we here? How do we stay in balance in a world gone mad? How do we live a happy and prosperous life regardless of the outside world of illusion? Once you gain that knowing, nothing in the outer world can rock your world. Check out Maria's books here on site at www.maria.net and pick out the book or books that resonate with you. Remember, Maria is available for one-on-one Reiki attunements and medicine wheel classes, no matter where you live. Get on your way towards becoming a multidimensional being walking between two worlds. Many have traveled to Arizona to study in person with Maria, and that option is available to you, too. Plus, you get to see one of the most beautiful states in the country. Check out Maria's books, www.maria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. And if you're not familiar with Jim's work, get over to his blog spot. I have a live link here for that. And absolutely check out all his books, even though a lot of them are not on Amazon, because he's being censored. And that's
They've
the America we
that's
live
right.
in. Right.
That's pretty good, Maria.
That's the second
book banned. You can find them at moonrockbooks.com. Moonrockbooks.com. But not only was my Sandy Hook book a collaborative research with 13 contributors, including six current or retired PhD college professors banned by Amazon, but now they banned, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either.
God.
Which has 15 contributors, not because of the moon landing, which is an elaborate construction. We didn't have the compulsion power to escape low Earth orbit. We didn't have the computing power to manage it. We could never have got by the Van Allen radiation belt, as even a spokesman for NASA has recently acknowledged.
Of course.
Saying that the greatest obstacle to a manned mission to Mars is the Van Allen radiation belt, which has only been there for 4.5 billion years
right.
since the
creation
of Earth.
I've seen so many posts where they say they admit that they don't have the technology to put a man on the moon. So it makes you kind of wonder, well, how did they have the technology in the 1960s and they don't have it now? But anyway, I wanted to dip back in. I don't know if you're aware if you've seen this, and I got to tell you, it's a long series, so it's taken me time to get through it. I think I'm watching it on Amazon Prime, but I'm sure it's available elsewhere. And it's an 8-part series, 2 hours each, on the history of New York. How New York was founded, how it was leveled, how it was built, the geniuses, the immigrants, this, that, the other. I highly recommend it. It was done in 1999. So you see the Twin Towers a lot in it. And I have to tell you, every time I see the Twin Towers, and even in a movie, Jim, I get upset, okay? Because I told you yesterday, I'm on my last nerve. Just the fact that they're no longer there. But last night's episode, I really would love everybody to see it. I think it was episode 5, maybe episode 6, was the construction, not of the Twin Towers. I didn't get up to that yet, but of the Empire State Building. And Jim, the film they have is unbelievable. It's stuff I've never seen before. When you see, I forget how many tons of steel they use to build the Empire State Building. When you watch how they put those steel beams together, how they heated up whatever their little screws are called to put it all together. The men, meanwhile, are wearing no safety gear whatsoever, not even a line. I was like freaking out. But when you look at how the Empire State Building was built, and that was in the 50s, I believe, they built it to last forever, and they filmed it. Now, most of the steel, of course, was the skeleton of the building. Unlike the Twin Towers, where you had those steel structures on the inside of the building. And if you recall, the Empire State Building was hit by a plane, and it didn't do pretty much any kind of damage. It didn't take the Empire State Building down. But when you look at and you hear the stats of how many tons of steel, this and that, and you think, I was thinking to myself, and this is the Empire State Building. This isn't the Trade Center, which was built, you know, maybe 20, 30 years later. And yet people want to believe that those planes took down the Twin Towers, when all you have to do is look at how they constructed in the 50s, and you could never believe that story.
Those are nice points. Yeah, these were two 500,000-ton buildings. They had 47 massive core columns. The steel was 6 inches thick at the base and then tapered 5-4-3-2 up to a quarter inch at the very top. It was impossible physically for them to collapse. Chuck Baldwin, who's a retired high school math, physics, and chemistry teacher, did a calculation and found that for every, if you took the top 14 floors, for example, on the North Tower, which allegedly crushed the bottom floors, they only represent 1.4% of the mass of the steel. The idea that 1.4% of the mass of the steel could overcome the lower 98.6 is simply absurd. In fact, he calculated for every unit of downward force, there were 199 units of upward force. They didn't collapse. They were blown apart using very powerful devices. In fact, an arrangement of micro and mini nukes that converted the building into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which is one of the signatures of the use of nuclear weapons, blowing apart in every direction. When it was done, there was nothing in the footprint. Unlike Building 7, which was brought down in a classic controlled demolition, 47 floors, yet a pile of debris equal to 5.5 floors, 12% of the height of the original, there should have been 13.5 or 14 floors for each of the Twin Towers, but they were destroyed to or even below ground level, as Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, a first responder, pointed out to me twice when I interviewed him on my radio shows. Everything we've been told about 9/11 is false.
Right.
With the exception that,
so people have to look at, what was it used for? It was used as a trigger for two illegal wars and rolling out the Patriot Act and the police state. And how can people say, why are you still talking about 9/11? To me, it's like, how can you still believe that story? I can understand in the beginning, we were all in a state of shock. So we believed it immediately. And then we got our senses back and said, wait a minute, that's an impossibility. That's a scientific impossibility. What we just saw is impossible. And yet people are still clinging to the official story. I don't understand. But I highly recommend everybody watch that series, okay? Whether you like New York or not, just look at the pride and the thanks that we owe immigrants in this country, because immigrants built New York. They brought over savvy that our builders didn't have. And I got to tell you, I love learning stuff like that, Jim. But when I saw the construction of the Empire State Building, I got angry all over again. And it's like it triggers my 9/11. I think I have news PTSD.
Well, it's hard to believe, but none of the 9/11 aircraft actually crashed on 9/11. Two weren't even in the air. Flight 11, North Tower, Flight 77, Pentagon, Bureau of Transportation Statistics, which keeps records on every takeoff and landing in the United States, did not even have them scheduled to fly that day. Pilots for 9/11 Truth was able to study air-ground communication and establish that Flight 93, for example, was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, after it had purportedly crashed in Shanksville, and that Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, long after it had officially hit the South Tower. I obtained FAA registration records and discovered that the aircraft used for those two flights, where the same plane can be used for multiple flights today from Tampa to Chicago, tomorrow New York to Los Angeles, were not formally deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2005, raising the questions, how can planes that were not even in the air have crashed on 9/11, and how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? The fact is that multiple, half a dozen or more of these alleged Islamic hijackers turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media. David Ray Griffin makes that his first point in his magisterial work, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. Americans have been played by their government, and Bush and Cheney were the central keys to the whole thing.
Well, it's interesting you bring up David Ray Griffin, because I have him coming back on the show next month on his latest book. Hold on a second. Let me grab it. Hold on a second. I'm like, oh, at least somebody wrote this, okay? I don't know if you've seen it yet, Jim. It's called Bush and Cheney.
I'm reading it, Maria. Bush and Cheney. It's a,
how they ruined America and the world. Because you know,
I know.
I love it. I love it. I immediately, you know, booked him. He just had a birthday. I wished him a happy birthday. When I hear everybody talking about Afghanistan, even Trump last night, even the media, they blame it on as Obama's war. And I'm like, how short a memory do these people have? This was Bush and Cheney's war. This was the war against Afghanistan and Iraq. Remember, he didn't like Hussein because Hussein called his father some names. Why do they have such short memories? Because this is the horror that we're living in. It started in earnest with Bush and Cheney.
And Maria, the chapter there on how they shredded the Constitution and how it was extended by Barack Obama is completely brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very good work. In fact, I think if you combine my collaborative study on the scientific aspects, America Nuked on 9/11 with David Ray Griffin's Bush and Cheney, you get a very comprehensive understanding of what happened on 9/11.
Right. And don't forget, the other benefit they got was to demonize Muslims forever to justify their wars.
Yes, yes, yes. And now we have these bizarre events. I mean, if that kind of fraud isn't sufficient, now we have this latest event in Charlottesville. I'm telling you, Maria, it's outrageous. We have three video studies that show there were two cars that were used, two different drivers, two different takes, totally fake. The two cars are both Dodge Challengers. One has a black stripe, the other doesn't. One has a sunroof, the other doesn't. The two drivers, one is a 20-year-old patsy. He's diagnosed as schizophrenic. He's on antipsychotic medication.
As
he wears
usual.
Prescription glasses. The other's a 32-year-old military veteran who actually commands a battalion in Ohio. He appears to have been the driver. We have photos of the driver. He looks just like this guy, not like the other. Believe it or not, their names are nearly identical. One is James A. Field. That's the patsy. The other, James G. Field, the real driver. The way he backed the vehicle out was so professional, so straight, so accurate, so fast. It could only have been done by somebody who was a stuntman. They photoshopped the key image. They put in the banners. We have two different takes. One with only one vehicle coming into the crowd, the other three vehicles, two are already present, and they have no drivers. The third car crashes into them. They had no drivers to ensure no one would be hurt. The whole thing was a scam, Maria.
Well,
and I published about it on my blog. I'll give you that information momentarily.
Okay, absolutely, because you know, and I actually said it on my show this week, and I said it on Chuck's show last night. I have no desire to cover and dig into those stories anymore. That's what you're for, Jim. I just can't take it anymore. You know, between that, Barcelona, I never miss Dave McGowan more than I miss him this year. And, you know, I'm so fatigued. It's like my soul is fatigued because you can see through these things so rapidly. And I know that these demons want a civil war. I mean, this has been in the protocols of Zion. This is the Freemasons' goal for hundreds of years. You got people in alternative media calling for civil war. Okay, they're amping it up. What better way to do that? Let's play a race card. I mean, I've seen this already. It was called the 60s. And it's just incredible that people keep falling for the divide and conquer. If people understood, I don't know if you saw, if you got a review copy for your show of Donald Jeffrey's latest book, Survival of the Richest. But you need to get it because it shows everybody who the problem is. What is the problem? And it's not the average American fighting the other average American. It is probably one of the best comprehensive books on why we are the way we are, especially economically. You know, who's making the money? Who's hoarding the money? Who's the real problem? That I actually said people should buy this book by the dozens and hand them out to all their friends, because if America could understand what's in that book, they would stop falling for the system. You need to take the fight where it belongs, not against each other. That's what they want. They want us to kill each other.
Yes, yes, yes. These three video studies, by the way, which blow it apart and add further each of them information. One is entitled Charlottesville False Flag Theory, Something Strange is Going On, graphic content. Another is the Charlottesville PSYOP with Jim Fetzer and Dean Ryan. The third is the real deal, Ole and Jim from Virginia to Spain, where I have interviewed Ole Domegaard. And he offers observation about Barcelona. We're going to do an interview about Barcelona when he has more information available. They have forbidden videos and photographs to be coming out of Barcelona because we're cracking the cases so fast.
Right.
But anyone who wants to get the big picture, I've embedded those three videos in a blog on jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. You can find it by putting in Patricia McCarthy, Charlottesville and its aftermath. What if it was a setup? I embedded the three videos. So just do Charlottesville and its aftermath. What if it was a setup at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com? You'll have the three videos at your fingertips.
What if it was a setup? I'll write that in today's blurb. But look, you know what? I look at these things and I just assume that now. I'm just assuming that, and I'm not going to do the work.
Yeah.
And I just can't. I can't. I can barely keep up with what I'm doing now. I mean, the resentment I have since this year began, it feels like this year's been 10 years long. It's every day you're bombarded with news.
Let me tell you the extraordinary developments based upon this totally fabricated event. Angela Rye, who's a former executive of the Congressional Black Caucus, said there's a problem about how people are taught American history in schools and is calling for all monuments to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Robert E. Lee to be taken down. This is complete insanity, Maria, complete insanity.
Well, you know, that's another conversation I had with someone. It could have been on Chuck's show. It could have been with somebody else. You know, when they asked me about the statue thing, I said, first of all, they could take those statues and put them in a museum. This was never about the statues. The statues are being used as a trigger. And people are falling for it. It's a trigger. You know?
This is a part of a project to destroy American culture and our identity or our history by removing icons that remind us of the history we have lived. It's indispensable that we retain it. George Soros appears to be behind it. The mayor of Charlottesville was involved. The governor of Virginia was involved. They had the Charlottesville police stand down. They used the National Guard and Virginia State Police to manage the event. I interviewed a participant. He said they were greeted with hostility from the beginning as they proceeded to march toward the statue in a peaceful assembly to object to it being removed, which had been verified by a judge. They had a permit. Mm-hmm. They were blocked and channeled by the Virginia State Police and the National Guard into a direct confrontation with Antifa and the Black Lives Matter crowd that broke out in violence. Many of the police in Charlottesville are protesting. They're speaking out that they weren't allowed to do their job, that this whole thing was contrived. It's a vicious situation, and American people have to come to grips with it.
All right. Well, I mean, if they can convince people that the Earth is flat, I mean, they obviously have won the mind control game to work people against each other. Because I've said to people, why are you worrying about some statues when Trump's going after our national monuments, our national parks? And how about that Georgia Guidestone statue? How come nobody's taken that down?
Actually, it has been taken down. I don't know where it's become or whether it's been found, but it was taken down.
Oh, I did not know that, because recently I still saw pictures of it. And I'm like, how come nobody's worried about this, where they want to like basically kill off the majority of people on Earth?
Another brilliant article by Jack Mullen this time is entitled "The Charlottesville Conspiracy and the Anti-American, Anti-White, Subversive Hate Promoting Mainstream Media," where he points out that they're doing a semantic sleight of hand of moving from America First, which was Bannon's idea of using our resources to benefit Americans, turning that into meaning white nationalists, meaning white supremacists, meaning neo-Nazi. So Trump, who wants to put America first, ending the wars in the Middle East and using American resources to benefit Americans, turns out to be a neo-Nazi by the subtle change of propaganda disinformation. The American people are being duped by this line of propaganda. It's outrageous, Maria. The American people have to understand, write letters to the editor, call into talk shows, write their representatives, their Senate, the House, and all that, and protest this absurdity. Don't let these monuments be taken down. They stand for the United States and its history. It's part of a strategy to obliterate our history and turn this into a nation of chaos.
Well, they're already doing that in school, striking real history, the Native American story, African slavery stricken out of the history books. And now with Betsy DeVos in place, a couple of states have now included teaching the Bible in public school.
Here's an encouraging sign I've run across of a poll. Should Confederate monuments be removed around the country? Yes, they represent racism and need to be removed. 2%. No, they're part of our history. 96%. Maybe it's up to the local governments. 2%. Overwhelming opposition. Even Noam Chomsky has observed he thinks this Antifa thing is going to backfire, that it's a gift to the right wing. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a reconstitution of the southern states as a bloc, very standing strong for the Republican Party as a reaction to all of this nonsense from the liberal extremist left. It's just shocking, Maria.
I know, but when you look at all the real problems we face, you have to say they're pretty clever to get people all hot and hot under the collar over statues that were, you know, who cares? To me, it's like, oh my God, and people are going to fall for this. You know, I don't even remember what triggered, you know, the race riots when I was a teenager. All I know is I was stuck in the middle of that living in East New York, Brooklyn, and it was not pleasant.
Here's another report worth mentioning. Bombshell connection between Charlottesville, Soros, CIA, same players involved in Ukraine, overthrow working behind the scene to oust Trump.
Right.
I think that's absolutely right.
Doesn't it remind you of the Boston bombings? I mean, look at that problem reaction solution. That was a good test on shutting everybody's phones down, lock you in place, whatever they call it, you know, stay in place, whatever. I mean, don't people see when we talked about Boston and said this is practice, that now practice has become reality?
Gross violation of the Fourth Amendment. They brought in military force into Boston in violation of posse comitatus, the statute from 1878 that precludes the use of the military to perform police functions. They were forcing people out of their homes in the search for a 19-year-old college student who frankly had nothing to do with it.
Nice.
When they photoshopped the images of the boys into the marathon footage, they made a blunder. Tamberlin had a beard. They had him clean shaven. And they didn't make the backpacks match. The FBI investigation showed the two bombs that exploded were in black nylon backpacks. But Tamberlin was wearing a kind of a gray and Zocher a silver backpack. They didn't match. So a retired professor of law, John Remington Graham, said to me that since the backpacks don't match, there wasn't even probable cause for an arrest, much less an indictment or conviction at trial. Absolutely absurd.
Well, murder. Let's not leave out how that when a kid was murdered. Anyway, Jim, thanks so much for joining me today. I know you got another show to do after this. And I appreciate all your hard work, and I'll talk to you again next month.
That'll be my pleasure, Maria. Good luck with everything.
You too. Bye. Jim Fetzer. Check out his work if you want more details on the latest false flags. And remember, like I always say, just because it's a false flag doesn't mean nobody died. Our government has no problem killing American citizens. If you knew real history, which I suggest people read Howard Zinn's version of real history, then you would know that. Anyway, thanks for listening and supporting the show. And I will see you guys when I'm back on Thursday with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.